Get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reiner.
Vic and Sade is brought to you by the makers of Ivory Flakes and Crisco.
Say, you know something? For a lady like you with three meals a day to get and a hungry family to please, Crisco's a mighty good friend to have around. Sure, having Crisco on hand is one way to make those wartime meals just about as fat and sassy as any you served before rationing. I mean it. Those nourishing, appetizing touches that make the folks sparkle to your cooking come natural with Crisco. And without going haywire with red stamps either. Why, look at how a big platter of Crisco muffins, biscuits, or rolls dresses up a meal that's hobbling along on a few points. And don't those odds and ends of a roast lose that slighted look when you Crisco fry them into crisp, digestible hash? Or what about a meat pie that's topped off with a rich, tender Crisco crust? Gee, there's so many Crisco ways to round out point four meals that, well, you hardly have to give your ration book a second thought. And say, doesn't it help a lot having Crisco the only shortening you need for cooking? It is, you know. Crisco's pure and all vegetable. Such fine quality, it answers every cooking purpose. And yet Crisco costs only 5 points a pound. So with Crisco for cooking, you don't tie up red stamps in a single other fat except a little butter for the table. And how that puts you red stamps ahead. Why not try Crisco and see how it keeps those red points in line? How it makes them account for meals that are nourishing and appetizing, too. And now, back to Vic and Say. Sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the front porch, we find Mr. Victor Cook all by himself. Mr. Cook lounges in the swing with his feet on the railing and appears to be in a state of reflective serenity. And here's a newcomer. Young Russell Miller rounds the corner. Listen.
I'm sending dead fish. Anybody at the
top line? Hi, George.
Interested in any dead fish?
You are very witty and very pretty. If I had my music, I'd sing you a ditty. There's a kitty. What a pity.
Can you move over, please?
Thanks.
We knew you were home.
How so?
We were out in the backyard and saw Mr. Goppers walk along the sidewalk. He waved at somebody on the front porch here. Had to be you.
Could have been Uncle Fetcher, couldn't it?
Uncle Fetcher was with me. When I said we, I meant myself and Uncle Fetcher.
Where is Uncle Fetcher now?
He stopped to sit on the lid of the cistern and take off his shoe, rocking it.
Uncle Fletcher manages to get more rocks in his shoe than any 56 other guys in town.
I think that's because he wears such roomy shoes.
Uh-huh.
And he only laces them about a third of the way up.
Mm.
A person that wears extra big shoes and only laces them a third of the way up lays herself open to sticks and stones and rocks and hunks of glass and banana peelings and various objects that clutter up
afternoon,
the public streets and alleys.
Greetings, Uncle Fletcher.
Glorious day.
Yes, isn't it? The feathered macaw struts in the deep forest, and the little bird shakes from his throat floods of delirious music.
That's right. I had something in my shoe.
Gee, I hope it was a great big diamond.
Yeah.
We'd all be rich.
No,
here.
Beg pardon?
Sit here in the swing. Don't sit on the railing.
Railing is fine.
No, it's not.
Take my feet, Uncle Fletcher.
Why, I wouldn't consider robbing you.
Go ahead.
Well, thunder, if everybody insists.
I'll sit on the railing.
Too much of a strain watching you perch up there, Uncle Fletcher. Almost went into a nervous collapse day before yesterday.
I never lost my half-wit equilibrium.
No, but you looked like you were going to any second. I was scared to death.
Stop off in there, Russell. I'll demonstrate my nitwit equilibrium as
well. No, sit still. Anyway, there's an important question I want to ask you. Isn't your landlady, Ms. Keller, an expert seamstress?
Who's this?
Your landlady, Ms. Keller.
She's over home, I guess. Never heard her open a trap about going anyplace.
Oh, I didn't inquire where she was. I just asked if she isn't pretty handy with needle and thread. I'll tell you the reason I'm interested. I have a letter here in my pocket from Lodge headquarters in Chicago notifying me of certain style alterations for the official regalia.
Amen.
Well, heck, Uncle Fletcher, don't be tough.
I never lost my half-wit equilibrium in my life.
If you're going to be mad, I'd rather give you this place than the rent.
At the Whiteside County Fair in 1909, we made a human pyramid, and I was top man. And just to amuse the ladies, we let them throw watermelon rinds at me. And I stood on Howard Nelson's shoulders for over half an hour with watermelon rinds coming at me from all directions. And I never lost my lame brain equilibrium once.
Gosh.
I was soaking soft and wet from watermelon juice and was finding watermelon seeds in my pockets and my watch and in my hair for months afterwards. But my worst enemy never accused me of losing my nitwit equilibrium.
Oh, Uncle Fletcher, let's call it truth. Accept my abject apology. I surrender unconditionally. First of all, let him sit on the railing.
Okay.
Sit on the railing, Uncle Fletcher. The railing's yours. Climb up on it and we'll admire your equilibrium till who laid the chunk.
My equilibrium.
What'd you say?
It's too late now, I suppose.
What should I do now? Go out in the garden and eat worms?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're friends again. Let's get out the old banjo and strum a merry tune. Russell, take off your shoes and dance a rigmarole. Where are the pretty girls to weave flowers in my hair?
Want to sit on the railing, Uncle Fletcher?
No.
Come on, we'll both sit on the railing.
Nah, I'm comfortable, Russell, thanks. Hear from Sadie, did you, today again, Vic?
No, I don't believe so. Mailman never left anything this afternoon, did he, Harry?
No.
Fine. No news is good news.
That's what they say.
My landlady, Miss Keller, made up that expression.
Really?
Yes, made it up many years ago. It happened to catch on with the public, and now you hear it every place.
Uh-huh.
I understand you to inquire a while ago if she's home this afternoon?
No, I inquired if she wasn't a skillful seamstress, handy with needle and thread.
No, Vic, you're confused on the party.
I'm sure I heard Mom say Miss Keller's a red-hot dressmaker and stuff.
Yeah.
You probably have in mind Dr. Elton N.O. Halter there in DeKalb.
He a pretty good dressmaker, is he?
Veely, Haynes, Huffmobile, Saxon, all them cars.
Uh-huh.
Briscoe, Overloop, Rockney, Dort. All them cars. Dr. Elton N.O. Halter, dead now. Passed away while he was awake. Waved goodbye to all his relatives and walked to the undertaker's office on his own 2 feet. I've always been glad I wasn't there.
Miss Harris across the alley is a dressmaker, isn't she?
I believe so.
Let me stroll over there after a bit.
Do you want a dressmaid?
I want my large robe altered.
Oh, new styles are coming out, huh?
Yeah, once every 2 or 3 years or so, headquarters changes the styles. Yeah, want to hear the letter I received this afternoon?
Sure.
Allen, Franklin, Apperson, Chalmers, all them cars.
Huh?
I'm still thinking about Dr. N.O. Halter. He practiced dentistry for over 58 years and never had a patient.
You mean he never lost a patient?
He never had a patient. Seems like all the patients patronized other dentists. He had a young lady to come up to his office one afternoon in the autumn of 1906, but it turned out she just wanted to find out what time it was. Wasn't interested in getting her tooth fixed at all, just desirous of finding out what time it was. It was 2:30 on the dot, and Dr. O'Halter never forgot that. Well, Grace, he'd say to his wife, sometimes looking sick and smiling glum, the clock says 2:30. I wonder if I got any patients down at the office. Marmon, Jackson, Locomobile, Winton, Kissel, all them cars.
This dentist owned so many automobiles?
No, Russell, he never owned any automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad affair.
Yeah.
You want to hear this letter from Lodge Headquarters?
Uh-huh.
Dear Sky Brother Gook, in hoc signo crux fiddle S, ad valorem in huius prison scrouch, cheese come some old cornucopia...
This isn't about Dr. Elton N.O. Halter. Dr. Elton N.O. Halter has passed away.
Yeah, that's what you say.
Piercera, Pope, Overland, all them cars.
You listening, Russell?
Shoot.
In keeping with the sacred stars of the Milky Way's policy of maintaining an up-to-date... Well, this is just a long rigmarole here about changing the official regalia to fit in with the style ideas of the year 1944.
Something like ladies' dresses, huh?
Yeah. All right, now here's the different alterations conveniently numbered.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. The robe is to be worn 3 inches shorter in 1944. Gosh sakes, that's almost to the knee.
Mm.
I expect I'd better be getting on for home.
Number two, higher waistline.
Exactly like ladies' dresses.
Lift the elastic stomacher several inches according to your height. This will give you the attractively demure peach squeezer effect so much in vogue.
Yeah, I expect I'd better be getting on for home.
Number three, sleeves. Sleeves are to be much fuller. Sky Brother E.W. Smith of Emporia, Kansas, favors rosette at the wrist and peekaboo shoulder vent. And although these are not forbidden, neither are they recommended. Sky Brother Jack K. Crowell of Dismal Seepage, Ohio, dispenses with these altogether.
Hmm.
I'll be getting along. Be supper time directly.
Number four, shoulders. Balloon shoulders are indicated for the 1944 season, but a severe choked-off effect should be striven for in contradistinction to an opulent plumpness.
Yes, a fella dry himself, wash water, and the vittles is on the table before he knows it.
Number five, cuffs. Sky Brothers are permitted to make their own decisions about cuffs. It is suggested, however, that you consult your wife on the matter. Your wife will, in all probability, have some clever, daring, refreshing, and novel ideas which will enhance the overall beauty and dignity of your appearance.
Yes, I believe I will go now.
No hurry, Uncle Fletcher.
Time I walked home, past the time of day with Mrs. Culler, and drew wash water from my face and hands, vittles are just about to be getting tender and ready for the table.
Well, suit yourself.
But a very pleasant visit.
I'm sorry there was unhappiness about you and your equilibrium.
Not at all. We must do that again.
Yes, real soon.
Next Tuesday.
Grand. And you don't think your landlady, Miss Keller, would be interested in making the alterations in my life?
You're referring to Dr. Elton Van O'Halter there in DeKalb, were you?
Yeah.
Veely, Haynes, Dort, Briscoe, Oakland, Maxwell, all them cars. Well, see you fellows later.
Sure thing. Sure.
Goodbye, Vic.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Russell.
Goodbye, Uncle Fletcher.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. You know, during the last few months, something new has been happening at Navy bases all over the country. Just recently in Washington.
Ensign Andrews reporting, sir.
Oh, yes, Ensign. I've got good news for you. A group of waves are coming aboard to take over the duties of you and your men. You've been badgering me to send you on sea duty. Now that the waves are taking over, I'm releasing you for destroyer duty this week.
Yes, thousands of American women are now taking over men's duties in the Navy. They're doing a real job for their country. But the waves, the Navy's women's reserve, needs many more women to fill important posts in aviation groundwork, in mechanics, and in many other special and technical positions. Any young woman who's at least 20 years old and not over 36 with 2 years of high school or business school can apply. You'll be trained in leading American colleges and paid at the same rate as Navy men. And you get lovely new uniforms free, too. Now, this is a real opportunity for women who want to serve their country alongside the fighting men of the Navy. So if you're between 20 and 36 with 2 years of high school education, write immediately to Navy Recruiting, White Plains, New York. Join the waves and help the Navy win.
And don't forget to listen to Vic and Sade the next time. This is Betty Ruth Smith saying good day for the makers of Ivory Flakes and Crisco.
Comes to you from Chicago. This is the National Broadcasting Company.